Thank you. Okay. Okay. Well, I think that folks are here that told me they were going to be here except for one.
Okay. But we could start.
Yeah. Okay, great. Let me just move this out of my way here. Okay, can you still see everything fine?
Yeah, I don't see the script though.
No, I'm going to.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You can see my screen.
Perfect. Yep, that's great.
Awesome.
All right. I am calling to order this meeting, the Boston Landmarks Commission, on May 9th, 2023 at 6:02 p.m. Yes, present are Commissioners Freeman, Walker, Orlando, Verducci, Goganian, Renahan, Hotelling, Mac Jones, and Lynn Smilage, myself. I'm going to read the agenda into the record first. First order of business is a demolition delay, Article 85 hearing on the property at 176 School Street in Jamaica Plain, followed by review and ratification of the hearing minutes from the public hearings on March 28th, 2023, and April 25th, 2023, followed by staff updates and adjournment. So first order of business is the demo delay on the property at 176 School Street. And as most of you probably know, there is a script that guides us through this process, which I'll read from and let folks know when they have an opportunity to speak. The purpose of this hearing is to determine whether the Boston Landmarks Commission should specify a demolition delay period pursuant to the Boston Zoning Code, Article 85, Chapter 665 of the Acts of 1956 as amended to be applied to the following property. 176 School Street in Jamaica Plain. Tonight's process has two finds that it is in the public interest for the building to be preserved or rehabilitated rather than demolished. In the second step, if the commission invokes the delay, it will then evaluate alternatives to demolition and review the proposed project. The commission may consider waiving the delay if it finds that there are no feasible alternatives to demolition. So step one, determination of significance and possible imposition of the 90-day delay. Could you please review the findings, staff findings regarding the significance? Will that be you, Chelsea, or Roseanne?
Chelsea, you're muted.
I think it's me because Roseanne's not here, but she might want to jump in when she gets here.
All right.
So the staff has determined that the building proposed for demolition is significant within the meaning of the ordinance, specifically Article C, Section 85.5.3, which states the building is historically or architecturally significant because of period, style, method of construction, or important association with a famous architect or builder. And Section E, Section 85.5.3E states the building is one whose loss would have significant negative impact on the historical or architectural integrity or urban design character of the neighborhood. And these are just additional notes that we put together over the long time that this has been under review. Staff notes that the mansard roofed building at 176 School Street, which is on your screen now, appears on the L.J. Richards Boston Atlas of 1899. The lot contained two houses owned by Nicholas and Margaret Herthel or Hertel. It's spelled different ways on each, on several different atlases. The building at the front of the lot on the atlas views is the current house at 178/180 School Street, and that's a Queen Anne building in the front of this lot. The building at the rear of the lot on the Atlas view is the current house that we're looking at 176 School Street. The MACRS form, number BOS.10138, is a 1983 survey form for the what they call the 1896 house at 178/180 School Street. The description of the Queen Anne house at the front of the property mentions an older mansard cottage located at the rear of the property owned by Nicholas Hurdle, a watchman. Deed records research conducted by a local historian, Allison Poltanis, shows the older house at the rear of the lot was likely part of the Nehemiah Williams farm estate. The Williams family name is a prominent name in Roxbury history. The house at 176 School Street was likely constructed pre-1832. A house depicted at that approximate location on Roxbury maps dating from 1832, the Hales map, and 1843, the Whitney map. School Street is an early Roxbury street laid out in 1662, according to the 1910 Boston Street Laying Out Department. Further research into the history of the house, including examination of the structural framing, would be required to determine a more exact date of construction. And I'm just going to point out a few things here. The mansard roof is likely to have been a later addition to the earlier building. The enclosed front porch, which is here, if you can see my cursor, is also a later addition. There is one rear L, which appears on the L.J. Richards Atlas of 1899, and then a third rear addition at the first floor only, and that seems to have been built much later, though the permanent records are not conclusive. So I'll just scan here to show you a couple of the Atlas sites that we found. So this is the Queen Anne house in the front here, and then this is the cottage, the mansard cottage that we're looking at here, with its various additions here and here. And then this is the possible structure that we think might be indicated on one of the earlier maps of 1833. I'm going to stop annotating.
And Chelsea, Roseanne Boley has joined us, so if you can make her a co-host.
Oh, great. I'm sorry. Yeah, of course. Yay. Make a ghost. There you go. And Roseanne, I will let you chime in if you want to add anything to what we looked at today.
Sure. Thanks for your patience. I was a little late. Computers aren't acting very nicely these days, but... I was able to do more research on this. Gabby was the staff person that worked on Article 85 back when this first came in a few years ago. And it was a little confusing because the MACRS form is for the 1896 house in the front, which was designed by a prominent architect. But this house is definitely the original structure on an extensive property, which was, of course, later built up, subdivided as Jamaica Plain was back in those days. I started to do some deeds research. The Williams family is extensively mentioned in the early Roxbury histories that I could find, and Nehemiah was a name that is strangely popular. So I wasn't able today to see if, as I suspect, even though the house has been obviously very much altered, find out if it was earlier than 1830. or 1820, or maybe even 1800. It's hard to say without looking at the interior and at the structure of the building. The Nehemiah that I did find, I don't have my notes with me, but his dates, I believe, were 1786 to 1852. So I believe that's the correct Nehemiah Williams, but I didn't have a chance to chase back to see, you know, he might have purchased the property from Ruggles, who's another prominent family. There were just so many Williamses and massive estates owned by Williamses, and he could have been a descendant of, you know, quite prominent folks. It's just, I didn't have the time available to me today to really chase it down and nail it down.
What's the foundation? Is it brick or stone?
So from this, it looks like it might be granite block.
Which would make it older.
It is granite block. Some of the additions have brick foundations.
Okay, well, thank you. So at this point, I'll now invite the applicant to present any information that will assist the commission in determining whether the building is historically or architecturally significant. You may also address the condition of the building, though I understand that a structural report was not submitted. The presentation should be limited to information at this point regarding significance and condition only, and should not address alternatives to demolition, proposed projects, or the suitability of the building for any proposed use. So I invite the applicant to identify yourself and present on the significance of this property.
So Joe and Mike, I've made you co-hosts, which means you can turn on your video if you want to, and you can unmute yourselves. And again, just to iterate, this is not the time that we talk about alternatives to demo.
Hello, I'm Joe Federico. I'm the applicant.
Hey, Joe.
Thank you, Chelsea, for setting this meeting up. I know we've had a lot of back and forth on this. As far as the significance of the building, I don't have much to add right now. I'm by no means a historian. I wouldn't even really know how to go about researching the history of the project. I don't know if it's the time for it, but we have had quite a long community process with the Eggleston Square Neighborhood Association and several direct abutters and other neighbors in the area, just regarding the redevelopment of the site. I know it's probably not the time to talk about that, but just as far as the existing structure goes, I've been inside it quite a few times. It was owned by a lady who lived in it for many years. She passed away in 2001, right before the pandemic started. It was passed down to her nieces and nephews, as I understand. And after it was passed down, they went through the house and they really just didn't treat it very respectfully. They kind of trashed the house. They ripped open the walls. They pulled copper piping out of the walls. The house is pretty much destroyed on the interior. Even in the basement, pretty much they cut any kind of salvageable metals out of it. Any appliances, anything of value was really just kind of removed from the house. And then it was just kind of, it's been left that way since that point.
Do you have photos of that, Joe?
I do not have photos of that.
We do. We have photos of the interior from the original submission.
Okay, yeah, I thought there was
photos. That was actually over 2 years ago, so I don't know if it would come.
And it's not necessarily to see those, and you're not using that as the basis for their request to demolish it, correct?
No. If I might add, yes, Mike. Mike McKay. I'm the architect for the proposed project, and I've also been inside the house several times with Joe. And just listening, I do a lot of restoration projects. This house, you know, I didn't know the history as much as I do now, but I did know that there were several additions in the back. It's a little bit of a hodgepodge in the back of the house and the roof. Just hearing that it's not original, I'm curious to what's left. The facade, the front porch was one of the things that we tried in our, you know, we've been working on this project for quite a while. We tried to use the porch as the guideline more than anything, just the fenestration and the lightness of the front porch, and finding that that's not even original to this building. It's just.
Although I have to say that really doesn't affect its integrity at all.
I understand. I understand, you know, that it's not
the layers, original. The layers of time that
sure,
are.
Sure, I totally understand that, but I you know, just question the
right,
especially the back of the house. You know, it's just been added on. It's, you know, big house, little house, back house, barn. I get that, but it's this just seems to be a more of a hodgepodge. That's all. Thank you.
So at this point, I'm going to ask if the public, if any member of the public would wish to comment on the significance of the building and whether or not demolition delay should be imposed. So you can raise your hand using the Zoom raise your hand application. Or you can wave wildly if you can't use that. Okay, Susan Pranger.
Okay. Let me make you a co-host, Susan. You should be able to turn on your video and unmute.
Thank you. I think most of my comments are probably for part two. You know, it is an old building, although I question how much integrity it has, especially if we look at alternatives. So, in a way, I think I'm echoing Joy. I can't. Obviously, it has some history and it's very old. But I think most of our comments as a neighborhood group are about the alternatives and whether it's feasible to keep it.
Okay, Doc, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment on the significance of the house or whether or not demolition delay should be imposed?
I don't see anyone.
Okay. Written testimony. If staff would like to report on that.
Yeah. So in 2020, several emails from concerned constituents and abutters were received to the BLC office. Since then, the Eggleston Square Neighborhood Association has been actively involved in the Article 85 discussion of the project. And also alternatives to design, but only recently. The Eggleston Square Neighborhood Association has decided to support the applicant's most recent design of reducing the original proposed number of units, which was 36, down to 7 townhouses. And so there has been discussion of a proposed project that does include demolition. It does include demolition. And then only recently, there are 2 alternatives that do not include demolition.
I apologize for being late, but did you mention Allison Poultonis's several pages of research and a request for demo delay? I missed that part, I think.
I used her and I quoted her, but I didn't say very specifically that she had requested demo delay. So thank you.
Great.
Okay, commissioners, questions or comments?
I know we're not supposed to be discussing the second phase, but it did come up in the comments, and it would seem to make sense to move this, let this hearing go into the second part of this by invoking demolition delay so that we can understand what alternatives there are for the site and for the possible preservation of this house.
Okay.
That was John, by the way, Freeman.
I'm Freeman.
Then assuming there are no further comments or questions, I'm going to entertain a motion regarding demolition delay.
I'll make that motion. Whereas the Boston Landmarks Commission finds that in the public interest, it is preferable that the building at 176 School Street be preserved or rehabilitated rather than demolished. Therefore, the BLC has determined that the significant building is subject to demolition delay and that the Commissioner of Inspectional Services shall not issue a demolition permit until August 10th, 2023, which is 90 days from the close of the hearing.
Okay, and a second?
I'll second that, Lynn. This is Sue.
Hi, Sue, thank you. And everyone voting. Commissioner Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Orlando? Orlando?
Yes.
Thank you. Berducci?
Yes.
Goganian?
Yes.
Renahan?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
Mac Jones?
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right, part two. And just a reminder that the since the demolition delay has been invoked, the applicant is responsible for properly securing and protecting the building during the time that they are subject to this delay. All right, so time for alternatives to demolition. Now the commission will determine whether the information presented is sufficient for us to issue a determination that there is no feasible alternative to demolition. If so, the commission may waive the delay. So we asked the applicant back to discuss the alternatives that were explored, followed by the new projects.
Thank you. Thank you again, Michael McKay. Mm-hmm. So this is one of two options. Our design, as you've heard, our project original proposal was quite a large building on this site. It was 36 or 38 units. It was a four-story building with parking underneath, covering a good percentage of the site, and it's gone through several years of back and forth with the neighbors, and we have a design right now for seven townhomes. What we've prepared is a design, an alternative, is to take the house, alternative number one, take the house at some level, potentially taking some of those wings in the back off, potentially using the porch if we can move it. And creating a separate individual home in the front. We would then have six units in the back with a similar design to what is currently proposed. There's an easement for the 178 on this site, and there's also fire access. You'll see quite a bit of pavement, parking. A lot of this has been through negotiations with the neighbors to have the additional parking, but also the fire department requires this access with a drivable paving surface we see in that hatched line, not the hatch, the sort of, I don't know, paved gray hatch line. The hatch is the actual easement to provide access to 178. So this would be a separate building in the front of the building, front of the site. And we have, I'm not sure if this one has an elevation or not. Okay. So this is, yeah, this would be the take the house, you know, at some level again, pick it up, move it. The proposal in the back is a modern townhouse, flat mansard, not a mansard, but just the above the cornice, we break the line. So it's a you know, call it a simulated contemporary cornice, but this is our design minus one building, one townhouse, basically. So series of bays. So it does not really relate to the mansard. And we did that really on purpose to let it stand on its own. A couple of problems with this design. The ISD and the fire department will reject this proposal. We're already going for a variance, but they will not allow this, the two structures on one lot. It's something that is the city is frowning upon. So that's one potential hurdle. We actually proposed this early on in our project with a single family in the front and then a building in the back. And we had to remove that and through negotiations with the neighbors, that front portion would be landscaped. But that's one hurdle to this design. The ISD is going to have some problems with it. If we want to continue, I can answer questions on both. Would that be best?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Option two is to integrate the structure as much as we can, possibly a facade or a three, and integrate it into the footprint. And this is that same proposal, but this keeps the landscaped area in the front. Obviously removes the building, but we keep seven townhouses, but just if we can look at the elevation. And again, it's, you know, taking this structure and then having a void between the two that's maybe a nondescript void at that second level that steps back a bit, and then the new building. So it's more of a modern addition that's added on to this existing structure. These are the two alternatives that we looked at.
Before you go to the proposed project, I see that Roseanne has a comment or a question.
Sure.
Yeah, my question was, I know that there's an ADU program in the city, additional dwelling unit program, which would allow for two buildings to be on one property. Are they not moving forward with the ADU program now?
Joe, can you speak to, I know you had many interactions with the plan examiner on the two buildings on one site.
So Roseanne, I've never heard of that program.
It's a pilot program, and it's only offered for certain neighborhoods. And I believe that JP actually is one of the neighborhoods, but I'd have to check on that. Mm-hmm. Secondly, if you do have a zoning violation in your alternative to demolition, the BLC can support your variance with zoning and the building commissioners. So that's just another mention.
Sure.
I think, go ahead, Joseph.
So I was just going to say, it really wasn't about a zoning variance. It was more of having the Boston Fire Department sign off on approvals of this plan before it could even be assigned to a plans examiner and have variances, a plans examination done and let us know what variances the project would require. It wouldn't even get to that point when it had the two structures on it.
Have you had a code consultant help you with that at all? With these alternatives at all? I mean, I know maybe not, but you could.
Well, we definitely, we met in the fire department. It took us 6 months to get through the fire department just to get to the point. That's one of the reasons why this project has been lingering, because we could not get a rejection letter from ISD, whether, you know, we work closely with the plan examiner, but we needed the fire department to sign off. And a lot of that was the negotiations on how they were accessing the back of the site with the front building, and they just would not allow it. But in regards to the additional dwelling unit, my understanding is it's not a separate structure. You need to work within the existing footprint of your house and not create any additional variances for the additional dwelling unit. JP may have a separate, they may have a something that's changed since the last time, because I've had many clients ask for it. It has to work within the egress and not, you cannot create any additional variances, is my experience with it anyway.
That's incredible to me.
But your second design, your second alternative does solve the problem because you are containing everything in one building. Is that correct?
That's correct. And this would now meet the spirit of our rejection letter from ISD. And
right. Okay. That's great.
Okay, so would you move on to the your proposed project?
Yes, the proposed project is here.
So as you, this is a similar footprint to option two, the landscaped area in the front, little pocket park in the front that can see blocks out the two parking spaces. There's some guest parking on site as well in the back. The individual townhouses, the five of them have two. I'm sorry, four of them have two parking spaces inside. The rest would have, their second car would be a surface spot. So this is the same, roughly the same footprint as option two. And the design is basically a lot of what you just saw. It's just more town, the townhouses are a little bit more consistent. Again, this has gone through many meetings, and I think that, you know, the neighbors are, some of the neighbors are members of the committees are here today to speak in regards to this design. Again, there's been a lot of negotiations. There's a lot of movement to this. This is a very flat looking drawing, but there's a lot of plane changes and variations to this building. So this is our proposed.
Thank you.
Just one thing I want to add to that. We presented this project to the JP Neighborhood Council last week. They did vote in favor of it. There's one proviso that they had added is that those two front parking spaces we have in the front yard, we have since removed those two spaces and just expanded that front courtyard, small little park area to replace those two parking spaces. Those plans have been submitted to Inspectional Services, and that zoning violation that we had for front yard parking has since been removed.
I want to note that Chris Hart has joined the meeting. I don't know if you saw, Chelsea.
I didn't. Thank you. Here, I'll bring you forward and I'll find him.
Okay, then at this point, I'm going to invite the public to, if they have questions or comments about the alternatives to demolition and or the proposed project. So Susan.
I know Sue had her hand up. Bear with me, it takes a minute. Okay, Sue, you're good. Anyone else, just raise your hand now so that I can unmute you.
Thank you. I want just to comment on the ADU. That program not only is for existing structures, it's also supposed to be for existing homeowners to allow them to stay in their home and make things more feasible. It's not supposed to be for new construction, as I understand it.
Thanks, Sue, for that.
Another thing I want to bring up that's part of the recent history of this building and the significance of this property to the community has a lot to do with that previous owner, who was a longtime owner, Stefana Ferris Vallejo. And she had, the house was in the back, but people's perception and the perception in the neighborhood is of that very large open space between the school and the other house that's at the front. And so the as the applicant mentioned, they did submit an alternative that had a new construction at the front. And there was also some discussion early on before I went to Landmarks about possibly moving some part of the house there. And the community felt strongly about, they were more interested in that open space as a tribute to Stefana, that having that open space on the street was more important than having another house there. Also, just as far as the zoning, it is a very odd site because it's narrow in the front and open in the back. And my understanding is that was part of the big part of the fire department access. So I've been involved in this project with ESNA for several years. We did originally submit a request for a hearing early on. In the meantime, there have been a lot of review with the applicant, and we feel that this project, as it's proposed, is an asset to the community. Although I can't believe I'm saying this as a past member of the Landmarks Commission, but we don't feel that moving that house, taking off all the accretions, and then setting it up so that you're seeing the end of the building towards the street is really paying tribute to that historic house in any way. We don't feel that that's worth the effort. I think he said it was the same footprint, but it's one less unit than what's being proposed now. And I can let my other committee members speak on it, but we've had a long discussion. The neighborhood is in support of the project, and the committee has had discussions about whether this alternative is an improvement on the project, and we just don't feel that it is at this point. So another thing is that this is not one where we would like to see you leave the demo delay in place and let it run out, because the building is right next door to a school. We've been talking to the applicant about trying to move the process as quickly as possible to get demolition work going over the summer before school starts up again. So having a delay that serves no purpose would in fact be detrimental to the school and the neighbors who are living through it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Susan. Thanks, Marie?
Marie, yeah.
Hi, excuse me. My name is Marie Napier. I'm the owner of 178-180 School Street, the direct abutter. And I'm also a member of ESNA, Eggleston Square Neighborhood Association. We've been working with Joe Federico for quite some time on this project. And it's finally at a place where the entire neighborhood is in support of it, as he's most recently been presenting. We don't think that the alternative of taking the older house or any part of it and moving it up to the front would be aesthetically pleasing or beneficial to the landscape at all. So we really are not supporting that idea. We would like to just stick with his most recent plan of the 7 townhouses. And we'd also like this project to get going as soon as possible. So a demo delay of August 10th is not something that we'd like to see. We really would like to have everything as far as demolition done during the summertime when there's no school in session. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other hands.
There was a third, but I think they lowered their hand.
Mm-hmm. So I will ask commissioners questions, comments.
Well, if nobody else will comment, I will. I think this is a perfect example of why we have the no feasible alternative. I have some familiarity with the zoning and fire department requirements, and everything that everybody said, the applicant said, has complete credibility. I think this would be a very difficult project to leave that. I can't imagine a way to leave the house in place. And moving it, I agree, doesn't seem to make sense given the condition that it's in and how many additions there have been over the period of time.
Okay, thanks, John. I would entertain a motion to, I agree. The neighborhood is in support of the new project. Would entertain a motion to waive the delay.
Moved.
I'm sorry, that was Anne?
Anne, yep.
Thank you, Anne. Second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Justine. And Chris has been here for this whole hearing, so is he activated?
Yes.
Okay. So everyone voting except Commissioner Renahan. Okay, Commissioner Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Orlando?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Berducci?
Yes.
Goganian?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
And I vote yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right. And Mac Jones, I'm sorry.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So the delay has been waived. I just have one final question. Is there anything to be done with that, what looked like a really nice granite foundation? Is that feasible at all? That could be salvaged for as a landscape element or?
Maybe it's part of the park on the street.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. The one that looks like a smiley face.
It does look like a smiley face. They almost called it that.
Very subtle.
Joe, his company that he works with is a site contractor, and I think that we will take that under advisement and try to use them as benches or something, some kind of landscape element. We're working with Vedant Landscape Architects, so we will, I think that's a very good suggestion. We'll see what we can do to make that work.
Okay. Thank you. Susan, a parting comment?
Yes, I just wanted to mention that park design is a placeholder. Joe has committed to come back to the community once they get their approvals and landscape architect to develop that and the other green areas. So I think that idea of incorporating some granite from the original house is a great idea.
Yeah.
I would also just mention that this is a quasi public private spot because it's so open to the street, and that you might consider what might happen there that shouldn't happen there.
Yeah, we've actually
lighting.
We have actually talked about that quite a bit. I think originally the Joe was open to the idea of it becoming a community park or a community space. And as somebody who's managed a community garden for 25 years, that's no small feat.
Right.
And I think there was more concern that it would become a space that was not maintained. So at this point, the idea is that while it's an amenity for the neighborhood just to have the green space there, that it would be owned and controlled and maintained by the condo association. Although we also talked about widening the sidewalk at that point, in part so that trash containers have a place to line up without not that they would be there all the time, but that when they came out on trash day, they would not block the sidewalk for the school. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Article 85 hearing is complete. We'll move on to ratification of the minutes from the meeting on March 28th. They look good to me. I made a few edits. I would entertain
to approve those minutes.
Okay, thanks, Susan. Second?
I'll second, Brad.
Okay, Brad, and everyone voting except Commissioner Hotelling. All right, Commissioner Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Orlando?
Yes.
Verducci?
Yes.
Gokanian?
Yes.
Renahan?
Yes.
Mac Jones?
Yes.
And Hart?
Yes.
All right. Same thing for the minutes on the 25th of April. I also made a few changes there.
I'll move to accept. Brad. Thanks,
Brad. Second.
David.
David, thank you. Okay. And everyone voting except Commissioner Mac Jones. All right. Commissioner Freeman.
Yes.
Henderson?
Please.
Yes? Oh, sorry. I'm looking at the wrong day. All right. Walker?
Yes.
Orlando?
Yes.
Verducci?
Yes.
Gilganian?
Yes.
Renahan?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right, thank you. Staff updates?
I have a quick.
Yep. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rosanna, I just don't want to forget to say this.
Yep.
We are going to need a volunteer for the design review committee on September 26th because one of our subcommittee members is not going to be there. She's going to be doing something much more fun. So just keep that in mind. If you're available, could you email me and just let me know if you can serve on that subcommittee for one afternoon? That meeting starts at 4 p.m. on September 6th. Sorry.
And I just want to remind all of you that you are welcome to any design review meeting. In fact, we encourage that. You know, we've got our permanent members, but you know, please feel free, especially if it's a project that is of particular interest to you or you have some particular expertise.
Yes.
That's smart of you to put this out there so far in advance.
Smart of her to know her schedule. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Roseanne, what did you have to share?
I have a few things. I'll be quick. We do have, right now we have 4 vacancies. Am I sounding like a broken record from the past? Mm-hmm. We have Kira, our preservation assistant, is now out on leave until July. And I'm not certain she'll be able to return. We also have an assistant for Dorothy Clark, an architectural historian, to fill in while Jennifer is out with her baby on leave until next, I don't know, March, I think it is, a long time from now. We also have 2 vacancies for the director of the Office of Historic Preservation and a assistant to the Commemoration Commission position as well. So these are either present or soon to be vacancies that will help us get back up to fully staffed again. We were there for about a month, I guess,
mm-hmm.
Which is how it seems to go with us. We do have some Preservation Month offerings. If you would take a look at boston.gov, Preservation Month, you'll see the events. We are also going out to the mayor's coffee hours. I think South Boston is tomorrow, isn't it, Chelsea? Yeah. So
be there.
Preservation staff has been going out and talking with folks and making some really good connections with people on a very informal level, which is great. And finally, Dorothy has been doing great things with all of our study reports that are becoming ready to be heard. So next hearing on the 23rd, we'll be hearing the public feedback for Hotel Buckminster. So that will be a great next step in the designation process.
And everyone can get that study report on our website.
Yeah, we posted it last week.
Yes.
Time goes by. So yeah, that's all I had. If anyone has any questions, happy to answer.
Thank you. If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.